the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gaudini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 brave relative precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious and boastful of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering, if ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning?
Thank you. Well, I was listening to my recordings this morning and heard something that I put on there recently, and really appreciated hearing it again, and I just thought I would share it, which I heard myself saying. I mean, I wasn't explicitly saying it was the mentor that was speaking at the time, but it's definitely the mentor speaking. And that what it said is, as long as I live in love, everything is on my side. Mm.
As long as I live in love, everything is on my side?
Yeah. Yeah, and it occurred to me this morning that the corollary to that was, if I'm living in fear, everything is a threat. Mm.
So if I'm living in love, everything is on my side. If I'm living in fear, everything, it seems like everything is a threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just really appreciated that reminder. Mm-hmm.
And as you go through your days in your life, do you watch yourself kind of going back and forth between the two?
I had a particularly vivid watching of it last night in the middle of the night, because I have this thing that's been going on for a few months that happens in the middle of the night that's just full of sensation, and I like wake up into it. I mean, it wakes me up. Mm-hmm. And some nights I'm just kind of go sort of, oh well, you know, go back to sleep. And other nights, like last night, it's like, oh my God, what's this? You know, and I start getting into this whole story about this shouldn't be happening and I can't stand this.
You're in the fear.
In the fear, yeah. Mm-hmm. And last night I just said, you know, no. In fact, I had a recording earlier in the evening last night where I just said, you know, conditioning is not going to help my life. We are not going down this path when it gets me started on this. This is on my off-limits list. We're not doing that. And so in the middle of the night, I just turned my attention to, let's think of all the places and people that I've ever loved. Mm-hmm. And I just turned my attention to everything loving I could think of, and apparently, I went back to sleep.
That's great. So you sort of willfully moved yourself from a world of fear, where everything looks like a threat, to a world of love, where it feels like life is on your side.
Right. So, I mean, it really is one of those, you know, what you practice is what you have. Where's the focus of your attention? And and I really, you know, I think in a way, I don't know, this just came to me that, you know, conditioning has just been just trying everything it has lately. I mean, it's just like turned the crank up to
You and everyone else up
here. Right.
Judging by what people have been saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, okay, let's pull out all the stops, you know? Uh-huh. And what it just occurred to me is what a gift that is, because it's reminded me that I have to pull out all the stops, too.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if that's kind of one way of saying, you know, what the heart of Zen training is.
Yeah.
Is finding the wherewithal and the willingness to be here in a place of peace and, you know, even, you might say, joy, generosity,
yeah.
no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
And that, apart from that, is really just kind of our koan.
Yeah.
You know, which is, okay, here are the circumstances that are perfect for me in which to find that peace that is solid enough to withstand anything.
Yeah, exactly so.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be my experience.
Yeah, and it's also, it sounds like your experience that you can, when you're here, you can choose between the two, and it doesn't even sound like it's that particularly difficult.
No, actually, I mean, I think it's just become so clear what the choice is. I mean, you know, do I want to keep being jerked around for the rest of my life, or mm-hmm. do I not? Do I want to live with what my heart knows is real?
Mm-hmm. And with that clarity, the choice becomes simple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've noticed that. It's interesting you bring that up. I've noticed that with a lot of things. Like, like things that maybe destructive habits or sabotage or something, mm-hmm. that I can't get past that through an act of the will and say, mm-hmm. I just don't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's always an act of, you might say, like an act of awareness or insight or seeing. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly it's like it does it on its own.
Yeah, that's really true. That's really true. I have to be coming from that place of knowing what's at stake and what the choice is in order to make that choice. I can't sort of, you know, just gut through it.
So. Yeah. Well, if you can really see it,
mm-hmm.
there, in a way, there is no choice anymore. It's obvious, of course.
Yeah.
Of course I want this, right. not this. It's when we can't really see it that it gets kind of fuzzy in there and we start making really bad decisions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it feels real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing I was seeing as you were saying that is that, you know, the love side of it's not dependent on anything at all.
No.
The fear side is completely dependent. It's all circumstantial.
Yeah.
The love side is completely independent. I think that's maybe why it's so free, is that you can go to that, you truly can go to that place no matter what's happening. You could be, you know, on your deathbed and here you go, and it's completely, you know, all the circumstance, or whatever mm-hmm. anybody's form of, it's all coming to an end, and this is what I've been trying to avoid my whole life, that place is completely available, because it's not dependent on anything else happening.
Yeah, and actually, you know, the word that came to me when you were saying that is, when it's not coming from the heart, then it's all conditional,
mm-hmm.
it's all conditioning. I mean,
it's all conditioning.
Yeah, and it's all conditional.
It's all conditional.
This has to be true. This has to be true. That can't be so. You know, it all has to look like whatever.
Right, and no wonder it's frightening.
Yeah.
Because we have no control over the circumstances. Okay. And condition really does. It's manipulating the appearance of them anyway, all the time to make it exactly what we don't want.
All the time telling us that it isn't what we want. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, making it what we don't want and telling us what we do want so mm-hmm. that we'll be really sure to notice that we're not having the right thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And there's this other place of love that is not circumstantial at all mm-hmm. and is just available whenever we can see clearly enough that that's what we really want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just one more thing. It occurs to me, it doesn't really tell us anything. I mean, that place of love
mm-hmm.
doesn't have all those stories and all the, I mean, it's, doesn't even have words most mm-hmm. of the time. It's mm-hmm. just that clarity that you were talking about.
Yeah, it just is.
Mm-hmm. It just mm-hmm. is.
Yeah, that's
neat. Mm. Jen? I mostly just wanted to say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's so good. The piece about we can't will our way through it, so true.
Mm.
I've really, really, and the piece about, you know, everyone being kind of really up against whatever they're up against. I had this great, life has just been handing me what I need just constantly in billions of different forms. I can't really believe it, but for whatever reason, it occurred to me recently. I've been wanting to do it for quite some time, and it just, I finally actually did it in Buddha Facing the Wall, that one book. And I read this little section, and in it, Sherry talks about, this is what I remember from it, that when she entered the monastery, her teachers, the agreement she had with her teacher was, okay, great, I'm going to find everything that drives you crazy or something and rub your nose in it. And boy, has that been helpful, because it was like, right.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I'm actually going for those things. I'm not trying to avoid them. And boy, that makes all the difference.
Makes a huge difference, doesn't it? Yeah. Because it's going to happen anyway, whether you like it or not.
I know. I mean, from a Buddhist perspective, it's going to happen anyway. Now or like 3,000 lifetimes from now.
That's a good point.
So now is good.
Yeah, why put it off? It's inevitable.
It's amazing because from the small mind perspective, now is never good. Because it's really uncomfortable. And I'd really rather not.
Yeah.
And I'd really rather get this little tiny thing that doesn't enter into the equation, of course, but this little tiny thing that I want instead of this much, much bigger, profound place of stillness and freedom that's available.
Yeah. Ego wants to just slide through this moment with some little bit. It's like a little imitation of what's possible.
Yeah.
And focusing on that, reject this, like I said, this huge thing that's there.
And of course, the only reason for that is not that, you know, conditioning, that it even cares about that little thing. It's just that as long as there is any holdout, the whole other huge expansive place is unavailable. The attention's there with it instead of on life.
Yeah, to relate it to what we just talked about a minute ago, it makes it circumstantial.
Yes,
because
exactly.
It's a something.
Yeah.
It wants a something instead of everything.
Exactly.
And if it could focus on the something and get you to go with it or get anybody to go with it, then then we are in a relationship with it where it basically has control over us.
Yeah. I loved the deathbed image you used a minute ago, where you said, you know, you could be on your deathbed, or whatever your equivalent of that that feels like that.
Well, when I said that, it occurred to me, well, that's not a problem for, necessarily.
Right, exactly, And I love that place of feeling like, not literally being on my deathbed, but feeling like, this, I can't stand this.
Take me out, Lord.
Feels good. And that's so funny because that can come from two places. And it feels like for us in practice, that place of, you know, take me out, Lord, I'm done, is such a powerful place when it comes from the place of, I got nothing else.
Right.
The only thing I have, this is kind of going back to a group we had, I don't know, I think on Thursday night, there's a poem, actually, I can't remember whose poem it is, but the only thing I have to offer is my grief. You know, all I have left is nothing. And I give it all over to you. That's it. And in that, I'm completely free.
Yeah, I find that to be really powerful, too. There's this little prayer I've been saying to myself. It's like, you know, just take it all away.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever is not helpful. Take away my health. Take away my everything I want.
Yes.
You know, take away. Yes. Just take it all away if it's not what I need.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the one I'm looking for. I've been having all kinds of prayers like that come through, just every day, setting that intention. Whatever I need, whatever it is. And what an amazing experience it is to be on that proverbial deathbed and experience joy, freedom, relaxation, equanimity, peace. Just, wow. It really has nothing to do with anything that's going on that conditioned mind says, I want, I've got to get this, I need, in order to.
And doesn't it feel like kind of life is driving us all the time to that point?
It really,
where we're really where we have lost everything.
Yes.
And that requires us to find the one thing that cannot be taken away, which is that peace.
You know, I marvel that anyone could do that without practice. I don't know. I suppose anyone who really gets there does have some form of practice, because in my experience, there are elements to it that are so painful that I can't imagine just choosing it. You know, just kind of keep, because we're being pushed into that corner. Mm-hmm. And it's like, from the I perspective, from the small I perspective, I'll do anything to get out of that corner. Mm-hmm. Anything. But, you know, when we have practice supporting us, when we have, you know, monastic training or whatever form of practice we're doing, what we're basically saying, help me to stay in that corner.
Right. Yeah, I think, I wonder if what would be challenging without practice is just not having the information.
Yeah.
Because you just get like pushed into a corner, but without the information, like kind of like what Mickey was talking about, you know, you see it, and then the choice is almost inevitable.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a perspective that helps you to see what's actually going on,
exactly,
that this is really what we want, yes, and what we right. need, yeah. instead of just this terrible life is just horrible.
Exactly.
Then how could we possibly work with that?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, the place I've really, really been appreciating and working recently is that, of course, what happens, at least for me, is in that a big piece of my that's been so helpful is just I'm just counting the breath all the time, mm-hmm. just all the time, and of course that provides me with everything.
Mm-hmm.
It truly takes care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in that is incredible relaxation, letting go, and then feeling good, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and the drive to go somewhere. From there mm-hmm. is enormous.
Yeah, let's move forward. We can use this for something.
Oh, God. And I can become someone who has this, and I can mm-hmm. feel this, and now I can, and here's what, and oh, we can do, oh, I know, mm-hmm. and then, and just really, truly, like someone was saying, you know, hearing the voice of the mentor, I suppose, just count the breath,
mm-hmm.
just count the breath, just mm-hmm. count the breath, just count. Yeah. And it's not like a you can't have that at
right.
all. It's more like a you can stay here.
Mm-hmm.
You can stay here.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. And it takes as much, if not more, motivation to do it there as it does in the very difficult places it mm-hmm. feels like.
Yeah. Well, it seems like life provides, you know, the koan,
yeah.
you know, whatever the awfulness is that we're each facing that we have to find peace in the middle of. And it's also providing the solution for that.
It, yes.
And so, like, they both sort of arise at the same
yeah.
time. And I think what you're talking about is the practice of staying in the place where both those things are happening,
yeah.
instead of responding to the koan in some form of separation and isolation, then cutting ourselves off from the, mm-hmm. you know, from the wisdom that's there, or the mentor, or however you talk about that,
mm-hmm.
where really it's kind of happening all on its own.
Yeah, like we could, I don't know if that's what you're saying, but we could slide off on either side. So the koan arises, and I can get into, you know, I can't stand this, this is awful, whatever. Or the koan arises, you know, I remain there, I see something with it, oh my gosh, that there's mm-hmm. this huge opening with that, I slide over into, cool, great, I'm all set now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's...
It's just a thank you,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
it. Now
that's
just keep, it doesn't mean anything, I'm not doing anything with it, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not holding on to it, just...
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like all you're really doing is focusing your attention
yeah.
and not losing sight. Well, I guess it's more than that, because it's focusing the attention, but it's also, there's an awareness in it of what's going on and what you need to have your attention on.
Yeah.
So there's like a wisdom, I think probably, you know, wisdom born of experience
mm-hmm.
that this is how it is, and this is what it is.
Yeah.
And this is where my attention needs to be in the middle of all this. All of this is an illusion. The only thing, you know, the only thing that really needs my attention is this moment right here, right now. And then, you know,
yeah.
that's the connection with life where the transformation just is kind of rolling and it just happens.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, one last thing about it and I'll be quiet, but because that's really important what you just said, that it speaks to why you were talking a minute ago about the awareness. When we have the awareness, it just does itself. We don't have... And that's why it feels like the awareness piece is so important, is that, and why everything we do in practice leads to wherever we are.
Mm-hmm.
That, because to be able to stay in that place of, say, counting the breath, for example, as an example, all of the seeing up to that point is important, because to be able to see what it's doing, the only reason we can do that is to all of those years and years and years and years of watching it
mm-hmm.
on these more and more subtle levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all part of it, you know, it's all, I don't know how to say it, but it's like, so when I'm in those places where my attention just keeps getting pulled away and keeps getting, to know that's fine, it's completely fine. I'm just practicing to the best of my ability, and it's all a part of training myself to see what there is to see.
Yeah, you know, the image that was coming up as you're saying is it's kind of like sharpening a knife or sharpening a tool or something. Because, you know, you come to practice and you're here for a second. And then just corners. And then you see, okay, well, oh, I see what happened. And then you've sharpened it just a tiny little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you come back here and then you're gone again. But then going through time, you know, the experience, because, you know, we're walking around here having insights. Just think about it all day long, every day, many, 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 many. And it's just sharpening the saw or whatever, sharpening the tool, and then it's getting more and more focused. And so now it sounds like, you know, your recent experience, it's, you know, it's throwing stuff in, but it's like nope, because you've already been down all those roads.
Exactly. And in a way, it's important to go down them, because you can't kind of go. Well, anyway, it just feels important, or I don't know if it's important, but in my experience, I go wrong every single one. Many, 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 many times to, oh, that's the cul-de-sac, oh, there's that cul-de-sac, oh, here I am, oh, here I am again, back here.
Yeah. One more thing about it, and then truly we probably should let somebody else talk, besides you and I, not just you, but, you know, it seems like what that does also is it puts us in a position to be useful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you go down that same cul-de-sac, you know that. And then when somebody else, you run across somebody else who's going down that cul-de-sac, you can tell them what's going on because you've been there so many times.
Yeah, a guide is so helpful in that way to help. You still have to go down the cul-de-sac, but maybe not as many times.
Or at least somebody can be there with that hint, that information.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of think, at least for me, I sort of have to experience it for myself.
Yeah. So true. But that's helpful, isn't it? Because when you're at the end of the cul-de-sac, you can remember,
that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Sure. But without that information, you just get to the cul-de-sac and it's like, well, that sucked. And their life stinks and I hate this. And just, I think I'll either go distract myself forever or I'll just shoot myself.
Yeah, it's back to what you said. What's difficult without practice is not having the information. Mm-hmm. So you couple the information with the experience. Wow, that's a powerful combination.
Yeah, and then it seems like that's what we can provide for others is to whatever extent we have it, you know, that information. Alex?
It's interesting that you just said that. That's I think that's what makes a guide, because the guide has probably been through all those places before, too, and has seen all of these things in their own life, like going down these paths, finding out that they don't work. You know, I think, I don't know which book Sherry mentions it, but something about how to build. She was like building a house or something like that, and she built the foundation of the house incorrectly, and someone came by and pointed it out, so they had to jack the whole house up again. Switch out this, like, if you do something like that, you don't ever
You don't ever want to do that again.
And it's like,
So I think what you're saying is she got to have that experience. And after that, it is hers forever.
And what's neat about that, too, is that you get to see, at least this is what I project, like you could see that whenever someone else is starting to go down those places. Uh-huh. So the only reason you can see that is that you've done that yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And they may or may not want to have their own experience.
Exactly.
But if they don't, you could really save them a lot of time. Say, you know what, if you do it, we're going to have to jack up that house.
Well, there's all that compassion that comes from having that experience, too, and maybe even the wisdom of knowing that that person is just going to have to keep jacking that house up over and over again in order to get it for themselves, but that's what's going on.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, that's a really big perspective, it seems like. Yeah. That it's not, again, it's not about the content.
No.
It's not even about, okay, so it's about, I don't know how to say it, but what do we truly need?
Exactly. Maybe what it is that I would love for you to be able to see how you ended up having to jack that house up a dozen times and say that rather than, okay, I've done this to the house, I'm going to hide the house now, I'm going to keep building the house.
I didn't build that house.
Exactly, and there's like all these different ways that, you know, that one can work with something like that. And I've just been seeing, like, you know, maybe like a couple groups ago, we talked about these areas where your mind starts going there, don't go there. And it's like, I can see how valuable that is. And what I also want is, these are the places where I don't want my mind to go. Here, put up circumstances in which my mind is forced to go to these places. And I think this is what the button inside is, that that's being pushed.
Yeah.
And I've come to the monastery to say to life, please push every single one of these mm-hmm. as many times as you possibly can, because I want to see through this.
Yeah.
I want to have the same kind of like push the button. Oh, there he goes. He's going to go fly off the handle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what they talk about is the, you know, like the spiritual warrior kind of approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a just I'm not I don't want to hold on to anything.
Right.
Yeah, just give me exactly what I need, no matter how painful or difficult it is, so I can get through this to the other side.
Yeah. And just such the wisdom of like how everything is set up. You know, how someone comes here, knows how to do X, Y, or Z, and okay, well, you know, Bill, great cook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because likely you'll see something in that.
Yeah. Yeah, what I like about it is, what I'm getting from what you're saying, is the wisdom within compassion.
Yes.
You know, like the love and compassion is first. Mm-hmm. And like the wisdom we're talking about is information. You know, the information is inside that. Because the information without the compassion is not it. It's,
no.
And it's cruel almost.
Yeah, well, it misses the point.
It misses the point.
You know, it focuses so heavily on the content that the person is lost in thinking that, why, you know, not being able to see the larger perspective that
mm-hmm.
we started talking about.
Yeah, I love that little koan of, you know, the person is building the foundation of the house incorrectly, and I can't remember exactly how you said it, but what I got was, you know, I want you, like, let's say, well, it could be to another or to myself, which is a lot more the case, actually. I want you to be able to do this in a way that you won't suffer, basically. I'd love for that for you to have that.
I'd love for you to have that.
And I'm willing for you to go through anything you need to in order to get to
yes.
that place.
Yes.
I can't do it for you. I can't make you do it.
Right.
And you're just going to have to find your way. But I'll be there. I'll be there with the information that you need every step along the way until you get there on your own.
Yeah. I believe that is part of what we're training ourselves to be in that place where we can be that. Where I love you enough
mm-hmm.
that, you know, okay, this has happened again. And it's like, I need the support. You know, it's helpful to have it externally too, but without me being able to have that kind of internal support when
mm-hmm.
we're doing with the recording and listening, I won't see it out there because I can't see it. That's, I don't know if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense, but it's like that for me to be able to provide that, I know that that's not coming from external. It's
mm-hmm.
not coming externally as well. I'm not relying on that
mm-hmm.
as much. I'm not sure.
Tell me, this is what you're talking about. That what you're talking about is being the guide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we each have the opportunity to be the guide for this one, at least for this one person.
Mm-hmm.
And the guide, you know, has no, in your case, has no needs of his own,
mm-hmm.
has no agenda other than compassion and acceptance,
mm-hmm.
Has no other place to go. You know, nothing else to accomplish other than just having the attention on this being.
Yes,
and the guide. You know, it feels like that's kind of what we're channeling through the recording and listening,
mm-hmm.
you know, as we're accessing the mentors. You know, the guide is the connection between the being and, you know, the intelligence that animates what is.
Yeah.
So it takes that intelligence and brings it into a particular form.
Yes.
And, you know, there's the being and there's what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And who we actually are is what it is that can provide that.
It's just such a loving environment in which it truly feels unconditional. It's the place that I am being required to go to in whatever is happening. As these buttons are being pushed, as stuff is just flying this way and that, you know, like conditioning is the one who is riding underneath of all that, and the place that I am is having to see, making that connection back and forth constantly, despite all of it. It's
mm-hmm.
like, oh God, this is all happening, but this connection is the strong thing. That's why I think the foundation of practice is so essential in order for this. That's why we live such an incredible time right now where without the practice, all these things just are thrown up, and I can't see the distinction between what I need to, what, you know what I mean? Like what's,
yeah.
It just gets lost in content, I think.
Yeah, I think I do understand what you mean. You're all that stuff as it comes at you, and as you sort it out, shows you the difference between what's you and what's not you. It's
right.
It's kind of like probably everybody did this when they were a kid. But you know, you take a piece of paper and you put like a quarter under it, and then you you take right. a pencil and go back and forth, you know, and then the shape of the quarter comes up.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, you know, so because we're going all over the place and going all around, but we're paying attention. And then as all this stuff is happening and we're looking to see, well, what's me and what's not me, then there's like this shape mm-hmm. comes out. And we more and more get to experience to see that, okay, well, that's what I am.
Yes.
You know, like in the way we were talking about earlier, you know, I am the piece that is, you know, solid in the middle of all of this chaos, mm-hmm. or I'm the compassionate wisdom that is present in the middle of this huge koan of my life that I'm in the middle of.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bill.
Yeah, I love this conversation, and what keeps coming through is that it really all boils down to the choice, you know, the choice of where to focus our attention, or the choice in each moment. And it feels like that what conditioning, what everyone, the people, would all of us need to understand is that there is a choice. And that seems to be what's missing sometimes in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. They don't know that there's a choice. There's a choice. They can choose a place that is unconditional, where, like people were talking about earlier, where there's love and it feels like, you know, life is on our side and everything's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I watch, and you know, when I'm in conditioned reality, it's the same thing. But it's easy to watch outside, where if something is done to me, and I don't know there's a choice, then, you know, whatever conditioning brings up, whatever's going on, that's the life experience, and that stays. You know?
So in terms of what you're talking about this morning, so the koan arises,
yeah.
And within conditioned mind, there's not an understanding that this is a koan, and this is here to assist me in going beyond egocentric karmic conditioning.
Exactly.
And so what we're left with is only egocentric karmic conditioning, yes. And its interpretation of it, and then we just go through, and then, you know, life has to hit us for the next koan.
Right, exactly. And if we, and that's to me the beauty of Zen practice. And also I was looking at when I think you posed the question or in a conversation with Jen, something about, people that say don't have this practice, because I see, you know, I work with a lot of people don't have this practice. And it's like, so first off, to understand that there is a choice, to know there is a choice, which it is.
Most people don't know.
Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are, you know, so privileged and lucky and blessed to have this practice, so we can see there's a choice. And I've been looking at the, say, like the Christian religion, because, you know, what you were talking about in the beginning of just giving over everything is called the Sushi Pei, and it's a mm-hmm. there's a prayer Saint Ignatius of Loyola wrote, take Lord, take, it's that whole thing, take my memory, take my life, my understanding, all, but the last line is, I can't remember exactly, because all I want is you, O Lord, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that whole thing of take everything, but my focus has to be on God, on life, on that understanding, that center,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if that's and so anyhow, I was watching if the Gospel of Jesus is read in little segments, that each segment's a Dharma talk.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking, reading them as the little Dharma talks, you know, mm-hmm. the Gospel of the Day or whatever, and it is so powerful. It's all there. Live in love and your joy will be complete. I mean, you can't get clearer than that. Keep my commandments and your joy is complete. Love one another as, you know, I have loved you, and love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, it's just boils down to...
It just kind of takes care of it.
It takes care of it. And people in that Christian religion that practice that can have this same experience,
mm-hmm.
and we know that over, you know, Saint Francis, and, you know, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that is a practice. Mm. To love one's neighbor as yourself. That is a practice as much as anything we do.
It is.
And if somebody takes that information as a practice, then it'll take them to the
same place. Jesus has proposed is a practice, but people often don't read it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like...
It's a rule.
Well, or it, that way, or it's... this is what Jesus did. Now I, you know... I'll pray that he will save me, or...
I see. Instead of attempting to do that.
Yeah, myself. It was actually a Protestant minister that said if people, Christians don't, I don't know how he said it, but the idea was practice to become Jesus, say, imitate Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Imitating's not the
it's
same.
Not the same thing. But you know what?
It leaves the I in it.
Mm-hmm. That really explains the power, I think, of St. Francis.
Yes.
Because in the stories, that's what he did. He read the gospel. He said, oh, okay, this is, he took it literally. He's like, okay, this is how to live.
Right.
And so he set about living that.
He said,
and that's what
it
was just, he set out to practice it. And it was just radical because everybody else just probably was imitating it.
Right.
But he actually attempted to live it.
Exactly. And what, to me, as coming from that and still in some ways practicing, using that as practice tools also, what is so helpful from this practice is all the, I mean, it's everything else we've been talking about this morning. It's all the tools, it's all the to stay present, to know that, you know, to once we understand there's a choice, then how to, the tools to counteract or to work with the conditioned nature,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just such clarity
mm-hmm.
to, it brings such clarity to that whole, what we could call a mysterious spiritual life. It's not that mysterious. I mean, life is mysterious
mm-hmm.
in itself, but you know, the way we...
How it works, though, is not all that
works.
Mysterious.
No,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. I can remember Sherry saying one time that the difference between what we do and what a lot of religions do is that this practice offers a step-by-step process
exactly.
to get from where you are to where you want to be.
Exactly. And... You know, with seems to me like you know, with Christians, it's pretty much hit and miss if they even know there's the choice.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't know there's the choice, then to me, that's when people are just out there floundering.
Well, I bet I don't know whatever miracle happens to them, but they see that there's a choice. But I bet the ones that see it's a choice are able to look at the information that's there in the Christian religion and see it in the way that you can see it.
Yes.
They look at the gospel and they'll see the practice in it because they can see the choice.
Yes, because it's so simple. It's where do you want your attention? On God or on, you know,
everything else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it says that even in the Old Testament, choose life, you know, choose your choices. It even says in the Old Testament there's a choice somewhere. You know, you have this choice, life or death, choose life,
mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy. And there's, you know, and it's just constantly there if you know, and everybody goes around seeking it, and it's right in front of our noses,
mm-hmm.
and once we see it, we know it's not even there, it's here, so
yeah.
It's just kind of a...
And then the choice is, it's kind of inevitable, even though, it's inevitable in the sense that as long as we're aware of that choice, then we're going to head in that direction.
Yes.
Everything in the world is going to come up. We're going to get sidetracked. We're going to get deluded. We're going to fall in all these holes and everything, but we're still heading in the same direction, even though all that stuff is happening.
Yeah, once somebody, in any religion, as far as I can see, sees the choice and sets their sails, life will take them there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we hear and read about, you know, all these great people
mm-hmm.
that are our heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks,
Phil. Penny.
Well, that's really interesting. I remember at one point wondering, since I got onto a Buddhist path from a Christian path, and I had taken vows, you know, as a minister.
On the Christian side.
On the Christian side. And, you know, whether I had somehow betrayed something or, you know.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Whether I had somehow betrayed something.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
Whether I had gone astray in some way or...
Mm-hmm. Gone against your vow.
Yeah. And I remember going back and reading, in my denomination, you had to write what's called an ordination paper, which is basically kind of your statement of faith
mm-hmm.
and your journey. And I remember reading it, and what was so neat was that it just led right to where I was. You know, that there was no contradiction. Kind of the way Phil's talking about it. It's a path.
Yeah. Well, and that was just as much of your as part of your path as what you're doing now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what came up for me is that I was listening to what Phil was saying is I remember, at one point, at several points, I think, Jesus says, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And it always seemed to me that what he was saying was, live as I live.
Mm-hmm.
And that we get confused and we think it means believe in him, you know, or do these things, and
right.
these things will get you there. But what felt like what he was saying was, live as I live.
So it's the difference. Is it the difference that Phil was talking about between
yeah.
the imitation and the actual camera?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The,
yeah. Live this way. Live this
yeah.
life. Enter life in the way that I'm living it. And don't just distance yourself. It's separation.
Mm-hmm.
Distance yourself from me, and then believe that somehow I'm going to do something for you.
Yeah. And didn't he also say give away everything to the poor?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. There's not a lot of following in that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It was like all kinds of things about what we're talking about, give up this, give up that, give up that. Don't put your faith in any of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just give it all away so that you can follow the one truth.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was just intriguing from what Phil was saying, and I wanted to also say that that one of the interesting things that's been happening more for me coming out of the retreat. Is I feel like I've had more and more experiences of really finding myself in the present moment, really being present,
mm-hmm.
and having the experience that in the present there is no past and there is no future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many thousands of times have I heard that? But I feel like I'm having that experientially in a way that, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just that in the present moment the past is irrelevant or not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist.
It actually, there
doesn't
is
doesn't exist. There is no
future.
Past and there is no future.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really getting it that the only place that exists is in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've ever seen that so clearly before.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, you know, that pull that Jen was referring to, so, you know, I'll be present. And then there's the commentary that I'm present,
mm-hmm.
which is me, because of course it's not being present.
No longer present.
And then, you know, then this kind of, there's a kind of discomfort that arises from conditioning that basically is saying it cannot be sufficient to be present.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to remember this, or you have to plan this, or you have to
own being present.
Yeah, you have to own being present, and you have to go someplace else in order to own it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so interesting to watch that tug. But seeing, it feels like we're seeing more and more clearly that is the tug.
Mm-hmm.
And that seeing that, you know, that an awareness will arise or something, or the present, I'll be in this sort of state of presence, and then the nanosecond later that it is verbalized
mm-hmm.
by condition,
mm-hmm.
that I'm told about the experience I'm having.
Conditioning is trying to take it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm seeing that,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, and in seeing it, it's not a problem. I just get, oh yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah, so there is no past, there is no future, and there also is no problem.
Truly, because all there is just this instant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then
when
you
can
say there is no conditioning.
Pardon me?
You could also say, I think there is no conditioning.
Yeah, and then when I'm pulled out of it, or there's this commentary upon it, or this announcement that here I am,
mm-hmm.
I know where that's coming from, and I know where I've gone, and I'm just getting it that isn't a problem as long as I know that that's what's happening.
Yeah, isn't it kind of creepy to think about... You know, so all that is this. There is no past, there is no future. There's no conditioned mind, there's no problem. There, none of that, like you're saying, none of it actually does not exist.
It actually does not exist.
And at the same time, there at least seems like from the past and the future, there's this thing, conditioning, attempting to pull our attention out of that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just such an amazing, weird, who would have thought, really?
It is, because in conditioning, that's 100% of my world.
Mm-hmm. It lives in the past and future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm in the present moment, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
That is just really bizarre.
It is bizarre.
But it feels like that's part of what's happening.
And there's that choice. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I noticed that came up for me that I've been finding a really helpful koan is, and somehow this is related, walking home one night, what came up was, suppose that life, that in life there are no supposed tos. What if in life there are no supposed tos? That's been a really powerful color for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing with that one.
Because a supposed to is, that lives in
totally.
The world conditioned mind too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's you know, 99.9% of how I usually see the world.
Yeah.
How things are supposed to be and how they are not as they are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. So what if there are no supposed tos is kind of cutting the cord. That's one cord between you and that illusory world that we get pulled off into.
Yeah.
So what if there's no reason to go there because of these supposed stories or whatever?
And my experience is that in those moments that I'm in the present moment, there aren't any supposed tos, because I'm just in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's kind of fun stuff happening.
That's good. Susan.
So I have this thing happening that I'm afraid to tell you guys about. But I'm going to tell you because I'm afraid, this is what my head says. They're going to kick you out. So this is
going to be interesting.
This is, but I'll tell you what it is. So as I've been doing the recording practice and I'm headed for, I get to sign up for that July retreat. In fact, I got to go write my check and bring it up and hang it on the board right now, which I forgot. So I'm reminding myself, anyway.
One of the monks to follow you out.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? It's amazing how that happens. Like, I bring it out with me and then unconscious to the gate. So anyway, so what's been happening to me with this recording practice is I'm actually becoming a Christian again. And as I hear people
talk, you're out of here, Susan.
I'm like, I can't tell. The Christian story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of that mountains are mountains and then they're not and then they are again. So I came and I'm like really Christian, right? But Zen practice put me in an experience of God in a way nothing else had. So I got really Buddhist for like 18 years. And now...
You're really both.
I've always been both. You're right. I've always been both.
Mm-hmm. And there isn't any difference.
And that's what I keep hearing. I'm like, there is no difference. I mean, when you guys talk about what... the mentor and the experience of, you know, it, and that thing, that quarter, you know, I'm like, but that's God! And I have that thing that Phil was talking about. I sing that on my tape.
The St. Ignatius?
Yeah, take, Lord, receive all my memory. You know, and I'm like, and it's so great when you're singing it into the recording, because like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a great singer. But it's because I'm singing it and offering it. And then as people were talking about that place of being stuck, you know, that Jesus Christ superstar. I mean, all these Christian things happen, but you know that place where he's like, then I was inspired, but now I'm sad and tired. Take this cup away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you see? I'm not as sure. You know, that's how I feel when I'm identified, you know. I said, take glory, receive, but now I don't really mean it because, you know, when I'm really identified, it feels really hard. But I really do mean it, you know. So.
You know, that explains what's been happening around here. We all kind of hit on the hard times, and now we're getting religion.
Because there's no place else to go, right?
Yeah, true. There is no place to go.
I remember this. You guys probably remember, too. Well, you know, when Clara was first born, and I did some very unfortunate identified things, but there was no place else to go. And
Thank God
and for me, practice staying here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen people, as we all have, come and go over the number of years and really believe stuff and not come back. And, you know, like, I really could start believing. I can't tell Sherry that this new recording practice is making me more Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, building my relationship with Jesus up. Like, I never thought it would be. Or she's going to kick me out. In my own brain, I believe that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it's believing those things that takes practice away from
that's
people.
That's right. Takes practice away from people. Because we believe it and we don't say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been kind of believing it for a while. I've been kind of embarrassed. Well, gosh, you know, how should I say it? Well, I'll just talk in the way that we're all talking. But the truth is, I'm having this great experience of God.
Well, it doesn't sound like that it's God as opposed to something else.
No.
Which I think would be the place where it would become a problem, because it's God and it's not this.
Right.
God is the way that that you can look at what we've been talking about this morning.
It would just be the word I would use.
And it makes sense to you. That's what your heart responds to, that way of sort of explaining it to yourself.
Yes, right now it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now it does. And the thing I'm noticing is the conditioning, because there's an intimacy. Gosh, what was that in Sherry's blog? And believe me, about all I can read is the peace quote. But for whatever reason, I read this blog this one time, and it's those four things. You can find out if anybody knows them. But anyway, the way she wrote them, I was thinking, that's God. She's talking about intimate relationship with all that is, without all this conditioning. And that is what I would call that I'm having with that which is bigger than me, life, but that I would name God. Mm-hmm.
So even just right there, you kind of said both translations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's God.
They seem the same to me.
They seem the same to me.
You mm-hmm. know, the mentor Jesus, they're both words for something that can guide us.
Mm-hmm. As long as we're coming from that place where there is no separation.
Yeah.
And we're not dividing things up.
Yeah, exactly. There's no separation. And for me, I'm not making it happen or something. Like my story about what that looks like. And I can do it with a mentor word, too. Okay, well, a good mentor would say this, so I'll tape it into my recording.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just breathing and talking into it and then it arising.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky no matter kind of what word you use.
Yeah, and
but it doesn't really matter.
It can happen
with the word Jesus or God mm-hmm. or mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ego does stuff with all those words.
Yeah. Pseudo-Zen, I think, is what you're talking about.
Yes,
it?
And I think what my brain has done to me for a long time is not allow me to use the Christian words, because it said, it's projected, it said, well, you know, you're going to just bring your old stories about those words rather than have your own experience. So it wouldn't even let me have the experience of intimacy with that
mm-hmm.
because it was, you know, pseudo-Zen using those words yeah. against me.
And of course, that's not sin, is it?
No.
That, you know, what conditioning is saying, because it could be that you start bringing that language back in and you go into like belief systems about
right,
that.
Right.
But that's okay.
Yeah,
because
that's
your opportunity to see that and go beyond that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, and yet again, which I've had to do again. And what I noticed with the guide around here, with Sherry particularly, is she often brings that language up when talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. I just get in my own head thinking if I say out loud, sorry, Susan, we can't be a member.
And that's where the problems always are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Where we're staying inside the head.
I'm so glad, you know, I just hope that people listening to the tape are on, you know, I just hope they stay. And I'm so grateful mm-hmm. I've stayed.
Yeah.
Wow. Because, and I'm grateful you guys have stayed, because you guys have stayed when I thought I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I thought that, when I knew what was happening to you, you know, I see you sitting in group in new roles and new positions, and but you stayed. I'm like, okay, when it gets to those places, if you can stay, I can stay.
Yeah, that's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we support yeah. ourselves. Yeah, somebody, when we have a group like this together, it may be only one person can still paddle the boat.
Right. But there's one thing in it, and they always share. And we always, oh yeah, okay. We can sit here quietly and.
And another neat thing is, it's not there's not like a hierarchy kind of thing where there's a designated person who's paddling the boat, because the person who's paddling the boat now might be laying in the bottom of the boat next week.
It's true, and it's why getting attached to each other in that way. I mean. Because it's true, you know, I've seen you guys over the years and years and years, and the roles always change, and the who's paddling shifts. Mm-hmm. And
you know what, what just occurred to me is, it really feels like as a group, we're modeling what we were talking about earlier, of modeling that place of stillness and peace that is always here and keeps on going no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And as a group, we're able to, it's like we can accomplish that.
Right.
Through time, is we're staying here. We're not going anywhere. We're sticking with this.
Yeah.
We're not giving up.
Only as a group. Mm-hmm. In my most dark hour with the monastery, I would imagine one of the monks' eyes. You know, just not to cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the compassion
mm-hmm.
that, it, okay, I knew that she had been through what I was going through and had stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And if she could do it, I could do it. One breath at a time. Show up even though I believe nobody wanted me to keep coming. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't have done it alone.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, I couldn't have done it alone.
Yeah, wow, that's, yeah, that's profound.
So, gosh, thank you.
Tell me.
I was just making a show of appreciation for that.
Okay, Krista.
There's these people who, I was just thinking about what you, what was just being talked about. There's these people who used to come here who I see in town regularly. And I was just make a show, I never talked to them. And recently they said, are we just going to make a show and we never get to talk to you for the rest of our lives when we see you in town? And I said, I think so.
Your song, whether you like it or not.
Well, it's just, I know I smile and laugh when I make a show at them, but it's not somber. It's, but it's like my way of saying, like I just was thinking about it this morning before I came here, like what, well, they stopped coming. Like what, why would you go to all, why would you make that kind of effort and take the precepts even and then never come again?
Yeah.
And then, and so I feel, like I feel sad for something inside of them that I project. You know, who knows, maybe they found something, you know, that's working for them, but.
Well, might we say you can project from your, maybe like your gratitude at having continued, how much they're missing.
Yeah. So it's not that I don't want to chat with them, it's that I want something more for them.
Yeah, that's what I meant when I said that, that, you know, they're Sangha, no matter what. They are somebody who has
to. Oh, I thought you said somber.
Oh, no, Sangha. Oh,
okay. That's why I said, no, but you can be smile and laugh. It's not somber.
No, quite.
Sangha.
Sangha, yeah, because they, you know, well, like we all do. We all start down, and then we get confused, and we head off this direction and set off that direction, but there's always a place we can come back to.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're giving them an opportunity to come back instead of giving them another way of being that takes that really takes away that opportunity. Amy, did I see your hands?
I did have my hands. I've been really appreciating this conversation, and I've been really appreciating having a practice to carry me through some hard times, and having an established relationship with a mentor that can carry me through.
Mm-hmm. That's key, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I was looking at was sometimes I can get caught in a story like I have to be here or something, and I was I've been practicing being really kind with the person who gets in that place, and where it would, and I'm hearing some conversation about saying this, but it would be okay to leave, and but within that, what I have found is that creates an enormous amount of freedom to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's a should, I mean, the pressure in the should is to abandon oneself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't, you cannot make a free choice if it's not really a free choice.
Mm-hmm.
Or no way, you can't, you have to want, you can't want to be here if it's not a choice to not be here.
Right. Yeah.
Is
yeah,
that
it's tricky. That if there's someone who's feeling like I have to do this, like then there's not freedom in that.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is a kindness, and I think that kindness is
and we're numb to it, mm-hmm. but that there's feelings like there is compassion for that I would be supported if I mm-hmm. were to make a different choice, mm-hmm. then I can make this choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mentor will still love you, will still mm-hmm. accept you, and gives you full permission to do that, if that's what you want. Mm-hmm. And that full permission gives you permission to choose what you actually want for yourself instead of what you should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just really grateful for that. Just the amount of freedom in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really changes, especially here at the monastery. It changes our relationship of life here, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If it's free
mm-hmm.
instead of something that we have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.